We're in week six of a series, and it's called Risk. The tagline is Love Boldly, Magnify Jesus. And we're talking about the idea of risking, namely risking to love. And we're seeing that there could be potentially positive fruit that comes out of when we risk, and love is the catalyst. So we've talked about risking to forgive, and it takes love to be able to forgive those who have hurt us. Some of us are deeply hurt by things in our past, and it takes a risk to open up our hands, right? It takes a risk to be able to let go. But when we trust that forgiving is the right way to go, we start to taste and see that those things can be good. Last week we spoke about risking to be not easily offendable, like almost like being able to have a thick skin, not because we don't care about what people say or do, but when we remember that we're all on the same playing field, that we're all broken, that we all struggle, then that allows us to not be so easily offended. And we've talked about risking to be generous with our time. We've talked about being risky and generous with our money, with our hearts. And it is risky, right? When you say, I'm going to open up my life and I'm going to be vulnerable to pour into so-and-so. But this is how I'll kind of tie this up. There are a few things in life that are of high value that don't involve risk. Anything that is achieved and is valuable involves some type of risk. And when we're talking about love being the catalyst of it, it's worth it. Not easy, but worth it. So, title for today's message related to risk is Risk to Let God Work for You. I hope as we go through this that I'm able to break this down a little bit further. And I'll start off with this question for all of us. Is there anything, any area in your life where you need help? Like, are there just questions you have about the future and you're not really sure where those roads are leading to, and you'd like maybe some clarity on that? Maybe for some, it's a financial situation, and you're like, I need some help there. I wish I had a break there. For others, it could be something relational. Maybe a gap or a brokenness in a relationship with a family member or a friend, and it's estranged. And maybe you'd say this morning, I need some help in that area. Or maybe you just need strength to get through the season. But I'll ask again, are there any areas in your life where you need some help? If you're anything like me, sometimes it's difficult. I'd say very difficult at times to ask for help. It plays with our pride, right? We're trained maybe from a very young age to fight for ourselves, right? To not appear weak many times. We're taught to be self-sufficient in a way. And by that, I mean, you've got what it takes, Poyo, to be able to get through this. Hence, there is no need for you to ask anybody for help. I think that inherently we have this idea that we are autonomous beings. We've got everything we need inside of ourselves to be able to bust through that area, maybe that obstacle. And I bring that up because it's important for us to be able to get to that point where we can say, yeah, I do need help. It's healthy for us to be able to get to that point and let the wall come down slowly and look at a friend and say, you know what? I'm struggling with this. Can you hold my hand through this? It's tough to be able to do that with a family member, right? We usually don't see on social media, Facebook, people asking for help, right? We usually use those platforms on the flip side, right, to show how good things are. And that's beautiful. It can be used for that. But my point in that is, what if we created a culture in our hearts and with the close people in our lives where we could say, I need help. Like the facade could come down and you could admit that we are weak in areas. We're really strong in some, and I love that about us. But none of us have it completely packed down. And at the heart of it is kind of an issue that we all struggle with as humans. Because if we're talking about spiritual things this morning, wherever you might be on the spiritual radar, I kind of get it. I've been around this for a while. Or I'm here this morning and I've got a lot of questions and I'm not really sure what this means. We invite all of those ranges, by the way. But at the heart of it, we're on that same level where spiritually, we don't want advice from a supreme being because we have the tendency to want to be that supreme being. Does that make sense? Like, that reminds us of how autonomous we are naturally and how self-sufficient we believe ourselves to be. And if we hit rewind and we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, Scripture, it reminds us of a common story of Adam and Eve, and they're given everything. They are in this utopian season where God says, everything is yours. But what's at the center of their hearts? The desire to be like God, right? He provides one guideline and says, just stay away from that. They have everything they need, more than they could ever desire. And yet, there's this inherent thing where they're tempted and they say, but that looks really good and I want to try it for myself. So here's what I'm exposing in this first part of the message. We're not God. We need help. He's a good father who desires to provide help to his children. We've got one verse that we're going to cover this morning, and it's out of the book of Isaiah, Old Testament, which means that the Bible is divided in two sections, Old Testament and New Testament. So this comes from the first half, and the majority of the stories that are in the first part of the Bible point to the second part of the Bible, point to the Son of God. His name is Jesus. They point to him coming back. So the first part is a foreshadowing of what is to come. And in the book of Isaiah, we find a prophet who writes a letter. And he's writing a letter to the people, to the nation of God, if you will. And these people have been in lots of trouble because they've decided to do one thing, namely. Guess what it is? To do things their way. That God has said, here's how to do life. And when you do life this way, you will be blessed, and I will protect, and I will be right by your side, and I will hold you from your right hand. In fact, he says in Isaiah 41:13, and I'm here to help you. His love is deep, and he reminds his people that there is an intense love for them. And then the people turn away from God, and they say, we hear you, but we really want to do life our way. We're self-sufficient, we're autonomous, we know what's best. We actually want to, in a way, take your place. You say you're God, but I want to be God. I know what will satisfy my thirst and my hunger. And we put ourselves, we insert ourselves into that story, because many times we go for anything other than God's wisdom. And we find ourselves often hurting, kind of a hollow feeling. It was momentary, but now I'm left to my own devices. So in Isaiah 64, we see the people of God who have been in a dry season, a painful season. They've been murdered, they've been plundered, their property has been taken away, their children have been killed. They are, in a way, living these consequences of saying, I don't need help or wisdom, we are our own people, and we don't need anything, especially you. They have quickly forgotten the love of God, which took those people from out of bondage and slavery years before that. But then the heart of God starts to rise, and he speaks to his people, and he says, this pain that you're in, and he speaks to us today, the pain that we carry this morning, the hurt that we've brought upon ourselves, or the hurt that's been brought upon us by life. And he speaks these words to us today in a tender way. So this is God saying, I see you drowning in hurt, but nothing separates me from you. Even though I've been rejected, he says, I'm so close. And he speaks to his people in Isaiah 64:4, and we are his people. Wherever we're at in that spiritual range, we get it, we don't get it. We're just here to see if we might be encouraged in a way, or I doubt with all my heart. He speaks this morning, and Isaiah 64:4 says that since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Can we chew on that a little bit? So the people are in pain, and they've seen the devastation. And then comes a good, encouraging word from a God who cares, who has saved them previously, and who promises to be there and save them again. And he says, there are no other gods like this. There is no story about another God. No ear has heard, and no eye has seen. About what? And he says, a God who works for those who wait. That's the beauty of how God works. He doesn't say, you've got your act together, so I work for you. He's a God who says, as fast as you run away from me, I'm on your heels, loving you, hounding you down. And as a matter of fact, I'm for you. Never against you. And what does he want us to do? There is no laundry list of what he requires us to do. It's as counterintuitive as it can get, because he says, just wait. And as humans, well, myself as a human, I'll personalize it. waiting is tough, right? You want me to sit back and just trust that you're doing something? But I've got these talents and these abilities, and I know whose door to go knock on. And when those things don't work out, I'm really good at manipulating things into working the way I want them to work for me. Been there many times. And struggle daily against not taking the easy route to say, that's the road I want to choose. And that's in that intersection where God meets us. He says, let me work for you. As you wait for me, as you breathe in, let me show up for you. We'll go back to the question I asked earlier. Where do you need help? Where would you like some clarity? Where would you like for him to show up? His word says, wait for me. I'll work for you. As a matter of fact, I'm at work right now. And we struggle with this because our perception is very limited, right? Like we see this moment, this breath that I take right now, I see that. But I don't have the ability to see beyond that. And God in his good nature wants us to build a trusting relationship with him. It's not religion. It's not go do A, B, C, D, and when you've achieved religion, then I work for you. It's the opposite. It's a relationship. Trust me. And I'll work for you. And we'll have to fight with all of our flesh against this, because our flesh will say, go strong, go hard, because you were trained from a very little age to never let your guard down. What if there's truth here? I ask that humbly. What if there is power in his word? So how do we let him work for us? This is what I would like for us to get this morning. A couple of things as I begin to wrap up. His ability is inexhaustible. You and I have limited abilities. Right? Anybody have unlimited ability? In every realm, my wife is close to it. But we're limited in our abilities, right? No matter how good we are at business, we have limits. No matter how good we are at that talent and that skill that we've got, there's a limit, there's a ceiling. His power is inexhaustible. There's proof in that. In Acts 2:24, we're told that after he's nailed to a cross, he's put in a tomb and buried, and he's there for 3 days, and he busts out of the tomb. He holds the keys to life and death. I say this tenderly to you. None of us have that ability. But our Father, the one who says that he wants to work for us, does. Think about that. The one who says this for us has no limits. What else should we get? We need to acknowledge our need. instead of our gag reflex saying, no, I got this. We need to be able to move to say, help me, please. I need you to guide me through this. Will you provide? Will you give me clarity? Will you give me wisdom? Will you be my protector? Will you stand before me? Will you be in that gap and hold me from my hand? And when I feel isolated and alone and like it's not worth trying to even take the next step, will you remind me that you are near? But we need to admit the need first, right? What's the first step in a 12-step program? Admit you're powerless. Will you help me? I can't do it on my own. I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried. And sometimes I've tasted a little bit of success, but soon, very soon after that, I fall on my face. This is one of the most difficult things we will do as people. Admit our need, because it's an admittance of our weakness. Nobody wants to stand in the weak line. It's a breath by breath thing, being able to get there, being able to open up your eyes in the morning and say, you know what, I can't do today by myself. Will you show up? It's a step-by-step process, putting your head on the pillow at night, sometimes with tears, and saying, I need you tonight. My heart aches, my body aches. Will you be my comforter? We need to get that we need to create margin to let him know that we need him. This is one of those where we could easily move beyond it, but reality is that if we don't create margin for things in our life, they don't happen. You're here this morning because you created margin in your life to be here. You didn't open your eyes and were transported here by accident. You don't take a weekend off and go hang out with some friends by accident. You create some margin, right? Some of you, some major margin where you schedule 6 months in advance. There are some A-type people in here. But some of you guys will at least a day before and say, okay, this is what I'm doing tomorrow. You created some margin, though. True? Creating margin to let him know that we need him is oh so important. It's called prayer. This is a prayer. God, will you help me? You're done. Father, I don't get it. I kind of doubt some things that are going on right now, actually. Will you encourage me? God, you want me to wait for you as you work for me. Will you give me the strength to wait and to believe? Just a little bit. Just for today. Don't worry about December. Will you give me the strength to believe today? That's a prayer. Create some margin in your life. I try to wake up before anybody else in my house so that I have some margin to pray. Like 10 minutes. I try to beat them on 10 minutes. I walk to our living room, and if you've been over to our house, then you'll know, or I'll paint the picture for everybody. There are a couple of double doors that open up to our balcony, and we can see downtown Dallas from there. You should come hang out sometime. It looks nice. But I sit a little ottoman that's there for maybe 5 minutes. So I have a 10-minute gap before the kids start running around, before my wife walks across the living room like a zombie going for coffee. But I know I've got at least 5 minutes to sit there, to look at the city in a way, and for me to say, God, will you help me today? God, I'm a dad who doesn't know how to really handle his kids as they start to grow and desire different things and ask questions. Will you help me be a father to them? God, I love myself a lot, and it's difficult for me to put others before myself. And when my wife and I disagree, I want to have the upper hand. But will you let me love her more than I love my agenda? God, Love in Motion is doing some stuff here in the city, and I don't have all the questions, and we've been at this for a couple of years, and we hear some good stories. Will you do things that are bigger than anything we could even ask for? My heart is tired, God. Will you encourage me? That's the margin I've created. Sometimes I do it in the evening too. That's pollo. You're not pollo, right? You do whatever the heck you want. Take this with you though. If you don't create the margin, it's not going to happen magically. Maybe for you it's in your car. Maybe for you it's when you're jogging. Maybe for you it's when you're petting your cat. Create that margin. It's called prayer. And communicate to the one who has already said, I want to work for you, and say, help me. Try to get that he desires to work for you. When I share this sometimes with people, there's a little bit of a struggle there because they say, God's not our servant. He's not here to work for us. And what we do is we have a connotation of what a human does, like a boss has employees that work for him, right? But what God does is that he says several times to us that he actually came to serve us. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. John chapter 15, verse 13 says that he came to lay down his life for his friends. He desires to work for you. When he's at work for you, people in your life will ask you, what's going on? What's different? How are you able to walk through that situation? And at the end of the day, the spotlight is on him. It points back to him. learn slowly to wait on Him. He promises to work. Closing thoughts. Learn to ask for help. Start with your closest friends. Those people who you know won't judge you. Those people who are willing to drop what they're doing just to sit with you. Learn to ask for help. If you're one like me who it oftentimes struggles with this, repent. Like you in your heart, what does repent mean? It means I've been doing this the wrong way and I love doing things my way. Will you forgive me and will you let me trust you? Repentance pulls off a layer from our heart. A layer that tends to harden our heart. Like when we do wrong to somebody, the options are to ask for forgiveness or to pretend like nothing happened, right? And when we pretend like nothing happened, our hearts tend to grow colder and colder. It's just like natural. That's the way it should be. They're wrong. I'm not. And when we are in a relationship with God, it's easy to do the same. He's dropped the ball. It's not my deal. And the options are to say, will you forgive me and help me? Or I'm good how I am. And as we go out this week, risk. Hear me out, please. Risk. It's gonna be a risk. Risk to let Him work for you. He wants to show up. Let Him know how much you need Him. And we end up every message with the good news. What is the good news for all of us? He says, what I have satisfies completely. My love is deep. I don't care where you were last night, what the thoughts were, what happened there, how much you push away. You don't get it completely. He says, that's good. That's all right. Because I'll meet you where you're at. He speaks that to all of us. My love is deep. He is the hound of heaven. He says, I'm not giving up. The one who says, you're valuable to me. Rest in that good news. Breath by breath, step by step, believe that He's for you. Jesus, work in our hearts. In your name, amen.